Also, let's not forget about next Sunday. We're having a plate sale for Sister Summers, who's going to be doing some missionary work in Honduras. So we want to be a blessing to her. So next Sunday, don't make any plans to go anywhere else. Buy a plate and send someone to Honduras in this time of need. Okay? Yes, ma'am. I'll pay for a box of chicken. Mm-hmm. Well, we can call Porter Poultry tomorrow and find out. All right, awesome. Okay. Well, we'll donate two boxes. Well, Henry, you want one? Edward wants one. There's four right there. Yeah, my wife will write you down. This hand business don't slide here. We're gonna get your name down. All right, welcome everybody, and let's just pray that, as Mario said earlier, that clarity of the word come to you. You know, we've really been stuck on 2 Timothy 2:15 about rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to divide the word of truth in truth for us to get the fullness of what Jesus came to do. You know, if you look at it, in the days that Jesus walked the earth, there were no prophets or prophecies going around. Remember what it says in Hebrews 1:1, that God, who in sundry times and divers manners spoke to us in times past by the prophets, has now in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So how could there be anyone else prophesying or speaking to us when the word says that the Son would come and surpass the mouths of the prophets? Now write this down, Matthew 4:17. In Matthew 4:17 is the point I want to get to today. And that is, how do we wash our brains? If you look at the anatomy of man, the brain is a mass. Not a mess, a mass. And when you look at the brain, you start wondering, how does this thing work? How does it function? You know, how is it that a person's thoughts are all held collectively in the brain? You know, you don't get statements of truth or principles or things of that nature and stuff them in there. The brain works in a way that is majestic. The way that God has created us, it is amazing to look at the brain as far as the physical sense and then what it does for someone as they use it properly. Now, notice in Matthew 4:17, it says, "And at this time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom is now at hand." Notice that. At this time, there was a specific time. And as I said in Hebrews 1:1, God spoke to us, but in times past, in various ways, has now, in these last days, spoken to us through His Son. So, when you look at Matthew 4:17, it says that the Son came and at that time began to preach, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Now, that word repent, as soon as, you know, a Christian looks at it, it's about asking for forgiveness, but that's not what that word means. It means to have a total change in the way that you believe. So what Jesus is saying is, look, you've heard things, you've put things together, you talk about texture, about color, about apparel, about dress codes. He says, you've missed it. You heard certain truths, and then you put them all together, and you made yourself a religion. He said, that's not what I'm about. I'm not about being a Jew. I'm not about you dressing a certain way or going to some specific place of worship. I'm here telling you, for that which I am about to introduce, you have to have a change of your belief system. That's what he was saying. So when Jesus comes, remember what it says about John the Baptist in Isaiah chapter 40. He says, there's a voice crying out in the wilderness. And that voice of the one crying out was the voice of John the Baptist. Because John was baptizing in those days. He didn't need the vote of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He was out doing what he was supposed to do. So remember, when Jesus comes up to him to be baptized, he said, no, Lord, instead of you baptizing me, I must baptize you. So understand, John knew something and John saw something, but he didn't have the fullness of understanding. So when Jesus comes to him, John said, no, you need to baptize me. He says, no, John, we must fulfill all righteousness. John didn't fully understand that, but he knew it was a special calling. He knew he was the voice crying out in the wilderness. So notice now, it narrows down and pinpointed on the word righteousness. This is the time where the Jews, they thought because of their sacrifices and their apparel that they were righteous before God. But righteousness was a person. It was not a thing. It was Jesus. So he said, no, you must baptize me, John, to fulfill all righteousness. So this is the time slot that we were in, where finally righteousness was being introduced in a person, not in things. So Jesus says, at this time, he began to preach and say, repent, have a change of mind, change the way you believe so that you can receive the kingdom. See, there's a lot of people that are in Christianity that don't believe the kingdom way. What happened today in the service, you don't find in many fellowships today here in San Antonio. Because they say they don't do this anymore, they don't heal anymore, the Lord doesn't, you know, bring forth prophecies, all of that ended, and that's not true. It's the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. It's that fivefold ministry that is going to bring maturity to the saints. And in any area that you lack in believing in one of those ministries, so will the rest of the fellowship also be in lack. We believe in every single one of those offices. Not just someone who prophesies. That doesn't make you a prophet. I'm talking about the office of the prophet. There's a difference. So now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So, think about it. How can someone renew the mind? How can you wash it? How can you cleanse it? How can you take it out and pull all the things that are inside the brain and then stick it back in someone's head? It's not what it's talking about. It says, don't be conformed to this world. That's the first key. If your thoughts are the same thoughts of the world, then you're going to be conformed and not transformed. There's a difference. So to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, it talks about that of a belief system. How much of your belief can be compared to the truth of God's Word? That's what it's all about. And how do you go by that? You go to the law of first mention. That's back in Genesis, where God first mentioned it. Everything God told Adam was law. You shall have dominion. You shall subdue. You shall manage what I own, what is mine. You speak what I speak. If I say something shall die, that's exactly what it means. So Adam, at one time, all he had was a belief system made up of what God had spoken. That's all Adam knew. That's all that Eve knew. There was nothing else, only what God had said. So when you think about it, there was no disorder. There was no dysfunction. when Adam and Eve were having the belief system that God had given them. So all they had is what God had said. But then when the serpent came, there was no wrestling match. There was nothing where Satan came and put them to sleep and did an operation on their brain. Didn't force them with nothing. He just simply made a suggestion. Did God say you would surely die if you partook? I'm just asking. It's just a suggestion. I mean, think about it. And what did Adam and Eve do? They embraced a lie, and it took the place of truth in their life. That's all it was. There were no hordes of hell coming against Adam and Eve. They were not being bombarded by powers and rulers of darkness and principalities. There wasn't some huge demon of education that came and tried to snuff them out. It was simply a suggestion. That's all it was. And Adam and Eve, being as powerful as they were, all they did was see something in a different way than when God had introduced it. That's all it is, people. Read the record of Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Genesis is the book of origin. And there's a law there mentioned. It's the law of first mention. When something is mentioned for the first time, it's law, it's written, and it's set for mankind to follow. So when God said, if you partake of it, you shall surely die, that's exactly what he meant. But something key in Genesis 3, and the key is this, I want you to listen to me. It's written there and it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she partook of it. Now I want you to see this. And when the woman saw, it's not talking about a physical vision. When she saw in her mind, listen to me, when her mind changed from what God had said to something else, the fall was inevitable. So that connotation that when the woman saw, in other words, when her belief system engaged in something else, when her belief system embraced something else other than what God had said, her now mind had been renewed from receiving a lie for the truth. So let's narrow it down to your life. Just because you go to a fellowship that believes a certain way doesn't mean that your belief system has automatically changed. What you divert to in time of trouble is what you really believe. In time of trouble, It makes you stand naked there, regardless of what you know, regardless of what you've been taught, regardless of what you say. Basically, you're going to do whatever that fear causes you to do. Now, think about that. Think about the word fear. When you allow fear, remember what the word says, fear is not of God. Because fear makes you see things without them even being there. Ever been scared by some shadow? When you finally got close to it, it was nothing. It was a doorknob sticking out in the shadow or whatever, and you said, you know, you lying devil, it's just a doorknob. You see what fear does? Fear changes your whole belief system to believe a lie. How about the word cancer? Look at what cancer does to a person. Even a tongue-talking, you know, crucifixion-believing Christian. As soon as you say, well, I think we found fear. And that fear is coming from looking at you and we think you got cancer. And it makes your whole body sick. When they told me, you got cancer in the thyroid, we're going to take it out. So, all right, it's got to come out. Take the sucker out. So they go in there, and when I finally came to, they said, Mr. Pena, we don't know what happened. But we didn't find any cancer. I said, well, praise God. I said, I know whose report I'm going to believe. I didn't freak out. I didn't lose sleep that night and saying, well, how far is it spread? There goes fear. What if it's not just here? It's already gone down close to my heart. And you start thinking and thinking and see, if that's the belief system that you have, then there's no end to what fear is going to cripple you with. That's why our belief system is supposed to be taken by rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we started off with, 2 Timothy 2:15. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth, is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. So that only means one thing, that people were not dividing the word by truth. They would take this precept and this and that and then make themselves their own belief system. That's why God says, your belief system comes from the word. You don't go already with a pre-notion of what you're going to find. That's religion. You go with an open heart and say, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. Teach me what I'm about to read. A lot of Christians don't read that way. They read the word by denomination. They read the word by what they've been taught by their denomination. So already, when they're reading it, they're already canceling out truth because that's what they've been told. When you talk to someone about the word, ask them, why do you believe that? Well, it says that in the Bible. Show me where it says that. They don't know. They're just telling you what they've heard. We've got a bunch of parrots just speaking what they've heard. Said, okay, no, show me. What did God show you where you can tell me that what I believe is a lie and what you believe is truth. And they can't. So again, in Matthew 4:17, when it says that Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand," he's telling you, you can be a Christian. You can believe in the ancestry of Jesus, in the birth of Jesus, in the characteristics of Jesus, in his death, in his exaltation. You can believe in all of those things and still have a wrong belief system. Because you're still conforming to teachings of this world and not transforming the renewing of your mind by the word of truth. So look at Jesus. He didn't go by the teachings of the Pharisees. In fact, at the age of 12, when he stayed back from Joseph and Mary, it says that he stayed there talking with the teachers of his day. They were amazed at the knowledge that he had. So he wasn't coming out of any religious group preaching the gospel. Because he said, and actually, actuality, what he was saying was, you all have it wrong. You put this together with this and that, and before you know it, you've formed your own religion. That's not what I'm about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became incarnate. John 1:1 and John 1:14. And to as many as believe, they became sons of God. Think about it. They weren't called sons of God before that time. So Jesus didn't come to introduce some new, you know, ritual or some new way of doing something. He was the embodiment of everything they had learned. So what I want you to understand is that we've got to realize that we are the generation that Scripture talks about. Hebrews 11 talks about all these people of faith. They were waiting, looking for our day, because they didn't have Holy Spirit as we have Him today. They didn't. That's why we can be the generation of royalty and of priesthood. No other generation can say that. We have the authority of kings, and we have the ministry of reconciliation as priests to reconcile everything that has fallen. So now let me bring this thing to an end. I want you to understand, once you become a Christian, you've got to allow the renewing of the mind. Because what you believed traditionally in the past doesn't stand anymore. And see, there's some people that want their Christianity, but they want to stay set and have no one tell them about things that to them might be intrusive. Things that, well, you know what? I've believed that all my life, and I'm not going to change my mind about it. Well, If you're going to see the kingdom, you're going to have to. Because anything contrary to the ways of the kingdom is going to mess you up on what you actually stand upon. And remember, anyone building a house upon the sand is foolish. So, as we look at it, one of the worst enemies of truth is tradition. That's one of your worst enemies. Why do you believe that? Well, that's how I was taught. We just believe that's the way that it's always been. Nobody's ever told me any different. Well, see, in Christianity, you can't do that. Because Christianity, we even sang it, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Well, I want my kingdom to come, but you've got to renew your mind to receive it. So see, at the same time that man sees himself educated, he's become foolish by the ways of men. There are traditions of men, and there's doctrines of devils. Look how the synagogues were the places of worship for the Hebrew people. And in the synagogue, here is the Word walking in. His name is Jesus. He's the incarnate one, the only begotten of the Father. He walks in to the synagogue and he's rejected. But they go on with their study. They go on with their table of showbread and, you know, the candlestick and everything else. But here comes the Word incarnate, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So here are the Jews studying the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They're studying the book, and the book walks in and they reject him. Just like they reject him today. Why? Because if he's a king, why isn't he dressed like a king? If he's a king, why wasn't he born in a palace? Why in a food trough? If he owns the earth, where's his real estate? Doesn't even have a home. Had to borrow a donkey for the triumphal entry. And he's the owner of the earth. Had to borrow a grave. He'd only need it for 3 days. Why not? So the Word became flesh, and men's traditions and doctrines of devils rejected him. Luke chapter 4, they gave him the scroll of Isaiah. He didn't ask for it. They gave it to him. And he looks for Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Turns, gives the book back to them, and for a second he caught them off guard. And when they heard his words, they were amazed. They said, "Who is this man?" But then tradition kicked back in. They said, "That's Joseph's boy. He used to play ball with the kids down the street." "That's right. That's right. And they go on. And Jesus said, "This day has this scripture been fulfilled in your ear, but you've rejected it because of the traditions of men." Don't let anything, for however long it's been around, and regardless of how many people believe in it, don't let anything stop the truth from coming in, renewing your mind, transforming you, and allowing you to have the eyes to see the kingdom. You may be flowing the complete opposite way of everybody else, but if it's His way, you're on the right direction. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Your word is yea and amen. And we thank You, Lord, for giving us Your word by the leading of Holy Spirit. It all meshes together, Lord. It's all a seamless gospel. There's no pieces where we put things together. They're all together from Genesis to Revelation. So Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Help us, Lord, to not stumble. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, saints. So please, don't forget, next Sunday, we're all going to get together in the cafeteria and help our sister Summers go to Honduras. So bring your cash that you would normally pay somewhere else and get a ticket from my wife.